Hi, everyone. I'm Hannah Nation, one of our co-hosts for the House Church in China podcast.
And I'm Ryan Zhang.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. We're talking about ministry in China's red light districts, which is obviously just a really hard topic, really heavy topic. But I don't know about you, Ryan, but I found just a lot of the things that the women from Zion were saying to be just very deeply convicting in my own heart about how I think about those who, just feel too shameful or too scary to interact with and to share Christ with. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah, I think it struck me how prevalent the sex trade is in China, even though it's illegal. It's because there's so many people in China, even a small percentage, it's a lot of people. So, and the business world is very patriarchal, man-driven. A lot of people have business meetings in these entertainment areas that would include some kind of sexual favors. And I think this is very prevalent, but also it's a very ignored part of society because no one wants to talk about it. It's illegal. No one wants to touch it because it's shameful. And that to bring it to light, it's a difficult topic. It's a difficult ministry to go into.
Yeah. I have known in my years working with and ministering to Chinese students in a variety of capacities, I've known several students who have talked about this or brought it up or raised it in a lot of different settings. It's a very real part of Chinese society and a real temptation on, not just a struggle for women, but for men as well. So it's, there's a lot of redemption that is needed. One thing I was just really thinking about and kind of just wrestling through in my own soul was just, I think how much they talked about just the issues of shame surrounding it. I think in North America, in the Western world, the church has sought to be pretty active in this area for a long time. And so we have less of the shame, like for women who want to minister to those in caught up in human trafficking or sex trafficking or just red light district ministry in general. Like, I don't know that I would feel shame myself interacting with women who are working in prostitution. But I think there's just a lot where I'm just very aware that for me thinking about this, it's probably not even as weighty as it is for my Chinese sisters who are entering into this work and really sacrificially taking a lot of risk onto themselves and their own social status to be able to do this work. And just how much they are compelled by the love of Jesus in their hearts to be willing to enter into these spaces and be willing to take that shame onto themselves.
Yeah, there are almost two parallel storylines here, especially in the beginning. I noticed that we have talked about these women who went into the sex trade and how reluctant they were, and then eventually had to embrace it for a variety of reasons. But then parallel to that, there are these women who are doing red light district ministries who are also reluctant to do it at the beginning and then grow to embrace it and do it for a variety of reasons. And that both of these groups know this is a shameful thing to do. And I think particularly for the people who are serving, reaching out to sex workers that they know associating with them is bad. Like, it's bad for men to be associated with sex workers because that's a sin. But for women in China, it's very much about being with a good crowd and steering away from bad influences. And so being with sex workers itself, it's a shameful thing. But then these Christians also marginalize themselves in the beginning, right? They're house church members. They are illegal. So then by being with these sex workers, that adds an other layer of stigma to their faith.
Ryan, could you maybe talk to us a little bit more about just shame and honor in Chinese society broadly? Because I think, you know, for me as a white European descent American, that's not something that I don't know. It's not like my cultural makeup in the same way. And so, yeah, it'd be helpful, I think, for you to just unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the big question in shame honor culture is worth, right? Your worth is determined by your community. So if you are doing something bad, you have brought shame to your family, to the people around you, then you are dishonoring yourself and dishonoring other people. So you're not as worthy in their eyes as other people who have brought glory to their family and to their surroundings. So then these women are regarded as unworthy of love, unworthy of being respected or even cared for. And so that's a lot of the shame is not just that they're doing something wrong, but that they are degrading themselves and that degrading the people around them. So anyone associated with them will be brought down with them. And of course, that for Christians, that is still hard to do, but because of what Jesus has done for us in his descension to our world, in his incarnation to our world, that helped us understand that it's worth also degrading ourselves to be with people who we think are shameful. And I think the opening quote of this episode said it perfectly, that this woman, she was angry at first, but then she realized that she is just like them. And I think Christianity gives us this category to see ourselves on the same side as these sex workers, as opposed to being different from them. And that's a very powerful thing for Christians to be able to embrace and to give them the ability to serve these women.
Yeah, I was even, as you were talking, I was just thinking, you know, I think it is definitely still generally true that China and Chinese society is much more of a shame honor culture than the U.S. is. But I do think we still understand this to a certain extent, you know, especially with the rise of cancel culture and just the way in the last 10 years, especially, there's been this kind of return in our society to labeling people as unsavory or unfavorable. And, you know, whether that's from the left or the right, you know, we all have people that I think we would be afraid to be associated with, or we would want to be associated with if we would understand that, you know, like if I share someone's, I don't know, Instagram meme and their share view that's different from like all my friends, that's going to bring me down in the eyes of my friends. And so even though some of these things might feel very different, and they are different, there are still a lot of touch points culturally that can help us to understand. And I think that's where, you know, another thing I was just thinking about was just how, you know, what's harder in ministry to do? Is it harder to build this, you know, really robust organization with all these like programs and be offering people literacy classes and job training and housing, but you don't actually become friends with anyone and you're able to kind of hide between those organizational structures and keep relational distance? Or is it harder to do what these women are doing, what the women of Zion are doing, which is they have nothing to give or to offer these women except friendship? Like, that's literally it. Like, the only thing that they have to offer women in the red light districts in their cities is friendship and fellowship and presence. And man, I think that is a much harder and much more vulnerable and risky ministry to have, because it's really requiring of you like a closeness and a vulnerability and just a openness to relationship with people that are not who everyone else wants to have relationship with. And it's just such a beautiful image of what Jesus has done with us, you know, that Jesus didn't come and, you know, build us a 10-step system to get out of our sin. Like, Jesus came and he was our friend and he was with us and is, you know, with us today still. And that is what changes our life. And that is what redeems us. So.
Yeah. And I think, to be fair to these women, I think if they have the choice and they have the capacity to build housing programs and job trainings for these women, I think they will. It's that under this context, it's very limited. And so, and you know, I'm sure they do hope there is a holistic approach to helping these women, not just spiritually and relationally, but it is very hard in China, and the relational component seems to be the only possible thing they could do. Yeah, it's helpful for us to think about why it's so important to learn from the Chinese church, to think about how when we help someone, it's a lot of different dynamics of redemption here. There is a book, it's a very small book, by I think Jason George, is on the 3D gospel, and it talks about how different cultures look at the gospel. You know, there's the honor and shame, there's guilt and righteousness, and then power and weakness. And I think the Chinese church here showed us a different aspect of redemption that's mostly honor and shame. And then for us, we tend to focus on maybe justification and guilt. And some places may talk about power and weakness, but having a different perspective showed us that you don't just focus on one thing.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I agree. I think if they had the opportunity, the women of Zion would absolutely want to move into more things that they can provide for women. And it's good to pray that they will have those opportunities eventually. At the same time, I just also really pray that the ministry of presence and kind of like that as a foundational defining aspect of their ministry, like, never goes away. You know, like, I think when I, throughout this season, just thinking about kind of like what is really like shaping the house church's approaches to mercy ministry, you know, presence and relationship and being in relationship with those that the world doesn't want to be in relationship with is like, seems so integral. And as we've noted, it's because it's in so many ways the only thing they can do right now. And I think like my prayer is just that like that stays as like this like really deep rooted bedrock of the house church's approach to mercy ministry, that even if and when the opportunities arise to move into more systematic responses and more programs, that they never lose that relational component to it.
Yeah, and this component will be even more important in the next episode when we talked about a different group of people they try to help, and the presence is even more powerful there. So please join us again the next episode.
The House Church in China podcast tells the stories of today's Chinese house churches and is a production of China Partnership. You can listen to these stories on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To hear more stories and to find out how you can support the Chinese house churches, visit housechurchinchinapodcast.com.